Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another place building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We have a fabulous program on tonight, Churches of Revelation, Sardis, the Church of Revelation. But before we get into that, we're going to open up with prayer, for we have a wonderful prophetess that's going to deliver the word on tonight. She will be introduced after the prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to you in all thanksgiving. We come to you in all praise. Father God, right now, we ask that you bless the program on tonight. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears, that we might receive the revelation of the word of God. Father God, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Now, right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every hindering spirit that would try to block and stop the word of God. We come against all spirits of depression, all spirits of oppression. We come against all spirits of nervousness and doubt. We come against every spirit that is contrary to the word of God. We come against these spirits, we bind them up, and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we speak blessing on all of our listening audience. We speak revelation to all of our listening audience on tonight. Father God, we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? Sister Montgomery, you can come on.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, Sister Malone, we're just so delighted that you could be with us and take time out of your busy schedule and just come and, share the word of God with our listening audience. We know we're going to have a good program tonight. Before we go into our program, we always give our announcements. We do meet on Sundays. We won't meet this Sunday, however, but next Sunday we meet at our, we call it our headquarters in Canton, Georgia. The address is 9550 Bells Ferry Road, Canton, Georgia. So if you're in the beautiful ATL, Atlanta area, drop in. We would love to have you to fellowship with us. Our services begin at 11 o'clock. We don't put a time limit on our services because we go as the Lord lead. Amen. And we have a call-in number. We will be accepting your calls. So if you have prayer, you need prayer, you have questions, feel free to call in. Our host call-in number, the guest call-in number is 323-375-0849. Again, it's 323-375-0849. Amen. Tonight we will be discussing our fifth church. We have been going through the book of Revelation through the seven churches. And as you know, just a small recap, we went through Ephesus, Thyatira, some of the other churches. So tonight we're going to go with our fifth church, which is Sardis. And Sister Malone, she is going to come and she's going to present the message on tonight. We will be, you know, after she concludes with the message, we will be sharing, we will be asking questions, just, you know, kind of fellowshipping. And I ask you to do the same. So if you feel led to call in, be sure to do so. So Sister Malone, before we go any further, I would like for you to just give us a brief introduction of who you are. You know, just give us a little bit of a biography of Sister Malone. Amen.
Well, thank you, Sister Catherine. And I'd just like to say that I'm a missionary, you know, led by the Spirit. I have been walking with Christ for over 32 years, and I'm just thankful for that. I am a wife and mother of four grown children and nine grandchildren, and we all, you know, really reverence the Word of God.
Yes. Amen. So if you wanted to open up, Sister Malone, and we could start into our message. We're coming out of Revelation. We can start directly into our service, but our teaching on tonight. So we're coming out of the Church of Revelation, third chapter, the first verse. And Sister Malone, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Sister Montgomery. Well, I think what I'll do is always begin by reading the Word of God. And as Elder Montgomery stated, we are talking about the Church of Sardis. So let's read the Word of God, beginning in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen.
I just wanted to read that because it's so poignant. And talking about this church of Sardis, which was spiritually dead. Now, there are several really key points that can be brought out in this lesson tonight. The first of which is, this is Jesus talking, and he is saying that this church is spiritually dead. But here's the catch there. It had an outward appearance of being alive. It was it seemed active, and it had a reputation, no doubt, of success and spirituality. I mean, how much can we equate that to today? There are so many big, as they are called, typically powerhouses, you know, but what is really coming out of that? You know, they may have had in Sardis an exciting form of worship, but no real power and no Holy Spirit governing there. You know, it's a sad thing to be recognized by God himself as being spiritually dead. And, you know, I'll often say about the people in Sardis that they had a name. The scripture tells us that their name, whatever the name of this church was, it indicated that there was life there. There was life in the name, but there was not a principle of life in the church. So we know that this church was dead. And when you think of the word dead, first of all, let's just kind of define that a little bit. You can say lifeless, without life, or whatever. But I like to go to the scripture because I think about Jesus when he gave his scathing rebuke of the Pharisees, who said he equated them. He said, look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and every unclean thing. You know, Matthew 23:27 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are inward full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This is a call for all of us to examine ourselves. You know, we need to really check, are we putting on a show? That's what it boils down to. Or are you really portraying the principles of godliness?
Right. Amen.
Did you want to jump in there and say anything? I didn't know for sure if you did.
No, you can go on.
You're doing very well.
Continue.
Okay. So I just wanted to say, you know, that on the outside, this church was adorned beautifully, you know, but actually it was a corpse. If you think of a corpse, and that's another good example, you know, when we tend to have funerals and bury our dead, that's probably, for some people, the best they've ever looked. I mean, they're perfectly manicured. Their hair is done. Their clothes, they have brand new suit. They have the perfect face is what the funeral parlor does. But yet and still, it is a corpse. There is no life there.
Right.
So this was the church of Sardis. It appeared to be everything that one could desire in a church. But the sad thing was is that God told them that he had not found their work to be right before him. So going down a little further, I'd like to go to, I guess it's where Jesus gave the command for them to be watchful and to strengthen the things which remain that were ready to die. For I have found thy works, I have not found thy works perfect before God. So when you think about this, it's saying that even in Sardis, you've got a couple people still hanging on, no doubt by a thread, but they were hanging on. But Jesus did point out that even these people were at the point of death. You know, they had was an opportunity for some spiritual revival, but you know, that was not operating in the Church of Sardis. So that's why it is so important that we understand how to truly make sure that we're not putting on a show for man and what man thinks. It's not about what man thinks. It's all about what God thinks. Because the book, the Sardin church, it tells you that they had a form of godliness, but there was no power behind them. They had nothing. They appeared to be all of that. But God said, I have not found your work to be right. And that's what's important, that we must separate what people look at and get more in tune with what God looks at. So the next that I wanted to bring out was, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. So you got to hold fast to the things that you know to be right. I remember when I was a little girl and even beyond, I hear people saying, go back to the old landmark. You know, when you first leave. When you first got it right, how often do we sit and wax cold? But it's so important, alive and vibrant, the things that you know. And we can only do this through the Word of God. You know, if you're not constantly doing the things that it takes to stay alive, you will die. You know, you have to nourish this mortal body. You have to feed it, and you have to give water, and you have to do all the things that's necessary to maintain a healthy, natural body. That is so important for the spiritual body as well. The things that it takes to keep alive and to keep healthy and to keep vibrant, we cannot fail to assemble ourselves in the presence of like believers. You know, that is so important. And with so much media and things today, it is very easy for someone not to actually make the effort. And I am not saying there is anything wrong with it. I encourage it. I'm happy that tonight we're able to broadcast for some of those who are sick and shut in. But find your way to believe with Sister and Elder Montgomery on Sunday also, you know, because you need to be in the presence as well of the saints.
Amen.
It's so important to make sure that we go back to the old landmark and hold fast to the things which we know are right and not be tossed and driven with every wind of doctrine. You know, when you first believe, you knew, but so many times we allow ourselves to get caught up, you know. And then I wanted to talk about when Jesus ended that they repent. And if people understand, to repent is more than just a mere confession. You know, you can confess something and go right back and do it all over again. But the repentance involves the will of the heart and the mind. It is a forsaking of the sin. You know, this is an old military term, I do believe, when they say, I always say it's kind of like an about face. You know, that means turn in the opposite direction. So that's true repentance involves. That means that you are not merely confessing your guilt, you know, but you are turning away and heading in the opposite direction. So that is a strong point that Jesus emphasized, that they needed to repent and get it right. And, you know, this is another opportunity to kind of speak to some believers today and how they have been associated with the church for so long, and they have pretty much died out within their spiritual life, but they're still doing duty to the church. This calls for an examination of your life. It really does, because they have an opportunity to repent. And don't worry about what people say. You know, so many times they're like, well, what would people think? Everybody believes that I'm saved. Everybody believes that I'm living right. But this is a call for you to get it right with God and true repentance. And it you know, this was a rebuke by God. He actually rebuked that church and asked them to repent. And this is something that God gives everyone the opportunity to do, and that is to repent. He gives us time and space to get it right before him. You know, and usually there's two responses. Either you're going to accept that and turn from your wicked ways, or you're going to get angry. Even if you're confronted by your pastor, you'll get angry and go even further away from where you're supposed to be. But the point is to repent. You know, and the beautiful thing is, and Jesus emphasized this, that even in Sardis, there were some people that still were holding up. Some people knew what was right. They were affiliated with this church of Sardis, but they were holding on. And Jesus gave them a promise, too. He told them, you will be with me. I will proclaim your name to my Father and before the angels. And that is beautiful. That is what we all want. But to know that your name was written in the book of life and to see a slot there where it used to be is a horrible, horrible thing. You know, we don't want to ever have to go through that, because now is the needy time. Now is the opportunity. When Jesus speaks of coming as a thief in the night, the thief is coming to the unsuspecting. But us being believers, we are prepared and we are ready. And that's why it's the unsuspecting that is taken or run amok by the thief, you see. So that message is unrepentant, that Jesus is going to come to them as a thief in the night.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Sister Montgomery.
Heard you. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I wanted to bring out, too, when you said, but you are dead. The church, we know that the church of Sardis, they had a name, like you said, and they had a reputation for being alive. And we can equate that, like you said today. But that name and reputation were with the world.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
Their name and reputation did not come from God.
Exactly.
They were so busy doing things and trying to entertain and please the world that they forgot what the church is all about.
Yes.
They had stopped doing their works and their deeds for God and all their activity. They were just too busy to notice that the church had died. Isn't that sad? They were too busy trying to convince each other that they were spiritual to notice that they were dead.
That's sad. It brings back to the point where, you know, how many times are we allowed by either peer pressure or just like what you said, Sister Montgomery, you know how people are so concerned with what the world thinks. It's more important to us what God thinks. Because God, he looks in the heart. He reads the heart of man. He knows what's the true intent of the heart.
Amen.
You know, and today, I mean, we're talking about this church of Sardis. But this is the church today. You know, everything that Jesus put in this book, that God put in this book, is for us to equate to our life today. It is so relevant for today. We see this all the time, and I'm not, you know, here to say anyone in particular, because everyone out there, all the listeners, can think right now of some place that comes to mind, some place that may seem like they would have it all. They may have the big, fine temple. They may have all the fine clothes, all the robes, and all of these things. But what is coming out? And at the end of the day, are souls being saved, and are they teaching the Word of God? You see, so many times we teach things that are not of God like it was His. And that's what's important, that we stick with God's laws and God's principles and help to live the life that Christ has called us to live. And that means being alive, not dead. You know, there is no deadness in Christ. In Him is life. And, you know, it's that light that light up men. So it's very important for us to understand how to relate ourselves and our church to the Church of Sardis.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so true. Well, you teaching tonight, I just want to say, I know people are being blessed. Be sure to get your questions ready if you have questions. If you need to repent tonight, see, we're talking about repentance tonight. And like Sister Malone said, a lot of times we go to church, we do it for religious reasons, but do God really have our heart? Or we may even go up on the altar and, you know, say a few little words, and after we leave the church, we live in worse than what we did before we came to church. God is saying, repent.
Yes.
This is going on throughout the land. Do you notice what's going on in the land? God is calling his preachers, his ministers, his prophets. It's like a warning saying, repent. Get it right. Watch. Repent.
Yes.
This is what God is saying, people.
Yes.
Amen.
That's so prevalent. Because it is important. You know, God has given everybody a span of time. Now, that thief in the night, don't think, you know, rise up like the foolish man in the Bible who said, I think I'll tear down my barns tomorrow and build them bigger. Uh-huh. You know, and then the Bible called him the fool. I'm not calling him. He said, thou fool, tonight your life is required of you. Don't be caught like that foolish man that was ready to just hoard riches and not give to the poor and just expand his own earthly wealth, but he had no spiritual investment. It is so important for us to invest spiritually in heaven and lay up your treasure where the moth and all these things can't corrupt him. But God knows you. He recognizes you. You may be the smallest, considered one of the smallest person in the natural sense in this earth, but you will be one of the biggest people in the kingdom of God. It's all according to how we live and how we believe and how we honor and worship God. The call is out tonight for us to turn and to repent. And that's something between you and God. God reads your heart. Again, I emphasize, not only is there hypocrisy in how, you know, some people, I mean, some of the preachers even, you know, they may look to be like really wonderful orators. I mean, they are talented. You know, there are ministers who are viewed by the world as dynamic orators with tremendous leadership ability, you know, but really what really matters is not what people say about you, again, but it's what God says about you. Jesus was not impressed with the name that they made for themselves. You know, he told Sardis, I'm not impressed. You got a name that implies that you're alive, but you're dead.
Yeah.
So it's not about what man thinks. It's not about what it appears to be. Now is the time to get it right with God and to turn today. True repentance means turning, heading in the opposite direction, and really getting to know God the way he calls us to do. You know, there's so many passages throughout the Bible that can address every single facet of our life today, and that when you're really searching and you're digging and rightly dividing that word so that you can find yourself, you know, pleasing in the eyes of God, you will learn. God will lead you step by step to true repentance. Today, the call is.
Yes. Amen. I wanted to also, and as you were saying, Sister Malone, and I'm not going to take up all the program from Brother Bob. If you need to say something, you can interject too. and like Sister Malone was saying, you can see that the church is not what it appears to be. And like she was saying, that we need to do a self-examination of ourselves. Are we just going a form of godliness but denying the very power of God? Sardis probably had a form of godliness without the power, you see?
Right.
Probably people were getting healed. They were maybe going through the motions. But a lot of times, and we have to be very careful, like she said, because everybody, they may call themselves a preacher or a prophet. You better make sure they're from God. Satan has people sitting up in churches and things, too, that is not from God. That's why you have to know the scripture. You have to study to show yourself approved. Because he said in the last days there will be many false, prophets, false anointings, false priests, people going out into the land, deceiving, he said, if it were possible, the very elect.
That's
right. Amen. I'd like to bring out a little bit, and this is pertinent to the program on tonight. When you get into the history of Sardis, you'll find out that Sardis, and Jesus, he talked about this. Sardis was one of the richest towns or cities or nation states in the area. Yes. Sardis was one of the first, they said they was one of the first kingdoms to mint silver and gold coins.
Uh-huh.
So that whole area was wealthy.
Yes.
Everybody in there was wealthy. It wasn't hardly a poor person, that's what we would relate to poverty now. There was the center was trade, known for manufacturing, dyeing, jewelry. They made jewelry also, gold and silver, diamonds, all kinds of wealth. Say, there was a king there, Croesus. He was very rich. He said he had almost unlimited riches. But yet, he led the Lydian Empire into defeat and decline. Sardis epitomized complacency, softness, and degeneration, which invariably ultimately accompany wealth. Now, one thing I want to say in reference to this, God and Christ doesn't have a problem with us being wealthy.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have a problem with us having things. But when we make those things a God and we put those things before Jesus, then you can be dead in your body, your soul, and your spirit, because money, what did Jesus say? The love of money is the root of all and to all evil.
Yes.
And also it's deceiving, because it'll put you in a place that you think you are and you're not.
Right.
You're not. Because you're trusting in the dollar bill and you're not trusting in God. You're trusting in your own power and you're not trusting in God. There's another thing I want to bring out in reference to Sardis. Now, Sardis fell three times.
Uh-huh.
It fell two. I'm talking about the city. The nation state fell twice. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because that particular nation wasn't supposed to fall. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, I'm going to read something to you. Say the Sardis was built on a rock, but it wasn't the rock of Jesus. It was friable, which means that while the slopes were precipitous because of the cracks and faults, it was climbable, but it was very difficult to climb. Now, the funny thing about Sardis is that they were overcome twice.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were built on a rock, they were built on top of a mountain. The mountain was hard to climb up, but yet and still they were defeated. Why were they defeated? Because they went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The guards were so, they were so trusting in their security that they didn't watch. They didn't watch the guard. And as a result of them sleeping on the job, or sleeping on their watch, the enemy just walked right in. Twice they did this. And Jesus was telling them in so many words, if you don't wake up, if you don't come back alive, I'm going to come upon you in a day that you think not, and I'm going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be lost because you're sleeping. The church, many of the church believers and preachers and pastors and bishops need to wake up. They're too complacent. They're too soft.
Yes.
They're too looking at what the world has. They like you said, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, the power of salvation, the power of holiness, the power of deliverance, the power of the word of God. But they look healthy. They look strong. They look alive. But if you don't have the word of God dwelling within you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit moving in you the way he wants to move, then you're not truly alive. There's another thing I want to bring out in reference to life and in reference to death. Now, when you're talking about death, many times we think about a corpse or somebody that just fall over dead and you got rigor mortis. But another thing that references to death is not doing what you're supposed to do. Now, most batteries, a battery can be dead, but it still has a measure of life in it, a measure of power in it, but it doesn't have the power that it should have to do what it's supposed to do. Sardis wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, but they looked alive. They had some power, but it was the power of the world, and we don't want to be like that. We don't want to have that power. We want to have the power of the Holy Ghost so we can do what God created us to do. And what really he created us to do was be fruitful and multiply. It's the same thing. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, what do we multiply? We are multiplying the things of God, salvation, holiness, the word of God, bringing people into the kingdom. And I just want to bring that part out. And Sister Malone, you're doing very, very well. My heart is is full. So you can keep going.
Well, I certainly enjoyed everything that you said, and I too concur. And, you know, so many times it's easy for, you know, the believer of today to read the Bible and say, well, that was that time. But if we were to read the 2 Timothy and the third chapter here, Timothy, this is a message that's saying, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, minded, lovers of more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives, silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. So you can go on. I stop right there at the sixth, but it tells you, it gives you an accurate description of what today actually looks like. I mean, how many have we seen in the news of lately fall from grace, so to speak? And we have watched programs with thousands of people in these huge sanctuaries crowding in there every day, and they parade around on stage, and it's a show and nothing more, because God has called them out and told them, I have not found your work to be good. God has looked at that, and they have been revealed. This is even today in our time, and that is no different than that church of Sardis, who had a name that implied life. I don't know. It could have been called Lively Stone. I don't know what it was called. But I do know that they were dead.
Yeah.
And God himself told them they were dead. And so it was beautiful the way Elder Montgomery brought out about the battery. Because how many people have had a dead battery in the wintertime? And you go out there and try to hit that ignition and it does nothing. But it's amazing how just a jumper cable from your neighbor next door can reach your battery and get you moving. And once you get moving, before long, you got heat. You're warm in the car. You're producing something. So this is what it takes. That's why we can't fail to assemble ourselves. We have to be in the presence of the saints of God, and I'm talking holy people. I'm not talking about going to a dead church. I'm talking about going somewhere where the word of God is being rightly divided, where they are having anointing and the laying on of hands, and where God's gifts are operating in the church.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible tells us, these signs shall follow them that believe. So look for the signs. You'll know, you know, but if a church is dead, it has signs also. There is no life in it. It's all about form and fashion, but there is no true living waters running in that church. Of such, we should turn away. And we have to constantly preach the word of God. We have to be instant in season and out of season. Whenever the opportunity occurs, we have to put the word of God out there, because there is somebody that it will hear. God's word is not going to go out null and void. Somebody is going to receive that word and be blessed by it.
That's right. Oh, praise God. That is
true.
And you know, I wanted to, you know, Sister Malone, and you said something, because like you said, in the beginning, repentance. But do you notice that a lot of churches now don't even teach on repentance?
Yes,
a lot of them don't even talk about sin. They talk about this watered-down social gospel.
Mm-hmm.
People might be attending the church because they may go because it's a big building, or they may like the praise and worship. But it doesn't, the preacher never addresses the sin. And I have never, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have never seen so many supposedly church-going Christians go to church every Sunday and live in there, just like what you read, adultery, fornication.
Yes.
And nothing about it doesn't never convict them to repent. What is going on?
This is why if the head is lame, the whole body is lame. And I'll say that in the spiritual sense, because if it's not being put out, and you know so many pastors and orators, as I call them, because some of these people are truly gifted in what they do. But the problem is that they're not teaching what true repentance means, first of all. And the other thing is people have a sense that, okay, well, I'm a child of God and I'm born again, and that means that's my license to commit sin. Well, that's not true. I mean, if you go to Ephesians, the fifth book, it's telling us to flee from sin. You know, Philippians is telling us to let that mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus' whole mission here on earth was to do the will of the Father. You know, he would constantly say, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what the preachers have to get back to in teaching the people how to live holy and separated from sin. A lot of people don't believe that they, you know, and I can't tell you how many people that I hear say, we have all sinned and come short, but God's grace is sufficient. Well, what the Bible calls us to is to flee from sin. God is not going to call us to do something that we cannot do. We can live a sin-free life. And what does sin mean? That means the transgression against the law of God. And I'm talking about willful sin. When you have determined in yourself, I know it's wrong to do this, but I'm going to do it all anyway. You know, sin, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot and consider yourself still to be a child of God, because that is that light and darkness have no fellowship.
That's right.
Amen. That's true. Right. And one thing I'd like to add in reference to this, Jesus, now, yes, he took care of all that on the cross, but we have to acknowledge, and like you said, we have to repent. But if we continually do will from sin, then the scripture says we crucify the Lord afresh, as saying that his sacrifice on the cross didn't wash away our sin, and it did. So we don't have to be willful sinners. Now, we make error from time to time, but we repent. Now, error is not the same, or mistake is not the same as trying to do something wrong.
There's
a difference.
There's a difference.
You don't try to make a mistake.
That's right. I just wanted to quickly, if I'm allowed to read Romans 6, chapter 12, verse, and it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." This is the facts right there. It's telling you how to flee from sin. And now that you are alive, you've been resurrected from the dead. There is no longer a separation between you and God. So it is time to turn from those ways. You know, when you do that repentance, that true repentance, you have completely turned in the opposite direction.
Yes.
And you're so right.
Amen.
And I was looking at in Romans 2, Sister Malone, over at 23, he said, "For the wages of sin is death." And that's how he looked at Sardis, as a dead church. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when you continually, like we're all saying, willfully sinning, unrepentant, you got arrogance about you, and God don't look at you in favor. He's looking at you like, to him, sin is death. Do you want to be totally separated from God?
No.
And, Sister Monk, you know, Jesus tells us in the book, the Bible tells us, that so many of come before him and say, oh, but didn't I do this and didn't I do that? And he's going to say, depart, your work is of iniquity. And, you know, so many people, like the ones you're speaking of, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's 23, Romans 23, 6 and 23. And I think about how many people think because they give money to these big churches, most called them, but they give money to them. They do work in the church. You cannot work your way to heaven. Now, the Bible says faith without works is dead. That's vice versa, too. Your work without faith is dead. But you got to have equally both working together that complements one another. I believe when you have the faith and you're saved by God, the works will follow you because you want to do the will of God. But you cannot work your way in a natural sense to God. There has to be a spiritual rebirth, and that is the only way. You have to be born again, and by that is what's going to resurrect you from the dead.
That's right.
You know, you can go back to the Garden of Eden, and, you know, when God told them not to eat of that tree, because the day they're in, they would surely die. And, you know, Eve allowed the snake to beguile her. And no doubt the snake told her, you're not going to die, but, you know, you're going to be wise, and we know the story of that. And what she didn't realize was that that separation from God occurred immediately. Now, you have enough death eventually that she had to go through the natural death also. But that separation, that spiritual separation from God, is what we're really focusing on tonight. And that is what in the church of Sardis. They were spiritually dead. There was no gift operating from God in this church. They had that form. They appeared that they were all that, but they were not. I mean, I hate to say it this, but you can take one of the ladies walking the street at night and know what she is, but if you dress her up in a nun's outfit, she's going to appear to be something holy.
That's right.
Mine is what's truly underneath the clothes. So we have to understand God looks in the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks clean through that and looks in that heart, and he knows the true intent of the heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to bring this out. Oh, you could go on. I just wanted to bring something
What I was thinking about as Sister Malone was going forth in reference to that is that just the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is what causes us. It is what does everything that is done. Salvation, holiness, all that is by the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you will be like Sardis, because you have to put on a show. You have to put on a front, because the Spirit of God is not moving in you. So you have to appear to look like you're righteous, like Jesus told the Pharisees. So you're like whitewashed sepulchres, full of dead men bones. But you look good now. You look good. But on the inside, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. So to God, you don't look good. I want to read Matthew 25, and it's familiar, it's about the 10 virgins, but this in reference to what we're talking about. So then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Listen, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They asked for their oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Mm-hmm.
Watch therefore, ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You see, it's, when you read this, when you go through this, you can't make it on someone else's salvation.
Right.
You can't make it on another person's Holy Ghost.
That's
you
right.
can't make it on another person's works for the Lord. You have to have it within you yourself.
Yes.
You, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Elder Montgomery, that's so beautifully illustrated in the 10 versions. And one point that I would like to emphasize also, I'm so happy you brought this particular passage up, is because the scripture tells us that there were 10 versions. So they were all virgins.
Yes.
You know, that's a point we have to understand. They were all virgins, but there were five of them that had the oil, and the oil represents, as you're saying, the Holy Spirit. The other five, as you can see, there was a form of righteousness, a form of purity there, because they too were virgins, but they lacked oil that they needed. And so it's so important for people to understand that there is a distinctive difference. You cannot have just that form. You cannot just be a virgin. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to have that oil that is so vital to the lamp. And it's just beautifully portrayed here, because a lot of people will say, well, they were virgins. How come they didn't get to go in? In other words, they appeared chaste. They kept themselves. But they lacked the vital life force, if you will, the oil, the Holy Spirit, which is necessary.
Amen. But you know what? Amen. I wanted to bring out something. Now, the Lord just brought something to me as you were speaking. And this is something that hasn't been brought out in that. But if you notice what happened, the five foolish virgins, what did they do? They went away.
Uh-huh.
They had to go away
to get
what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
When they went away, this is when the Lord came.
Yes.
Think about that a minute. You might be in the Lord, and you might be where you're supposed to be.
Right.
But if you leave the Lord and you go away from the Lord, he might come back while you're gone.
Amen.
And if you don't get back to the Lord before he comes back, he's not going to know you.
Yes.
He's not going to know you.
Well, you know, that also brings into light, as the Lord said, he would come as that thief in the night at an hour when you think that. They thought they had time to get back. And this is why now, today, is the time when you hear his voice to harden not your heart.
Amen. Amen.
And I wanted to bring this out about Sardis. And one thing, there's something else about the Church of Sardis. There was no persecution. As we forementioned, you know, with Ephesus and everything, there weren't any false apostles or prophets or teachers trying to destroy this church. Even the Nicolaitans, they ate food that had been sacrificed to idols and practiced sex outside of marriage while claiming to be Christians, and pious Jews were ignoring this church. No one was cast into prison or put to death for serving Jesus. It is almost as if this church was so ineffective that the devil is not wasting any of his time with it. All he has to do is keep the church thinking that they were alive when he knows all the time that they are actually dead.
Yes.
Mm.
Think about that.
that's not good.
It's not good at all.
That's
interesting, Montgomery, what you said, because, like you said, even the wicked one didn't have to launch a war against them because he already knew who they belonged to. He knew they didn't belong to God. And so, you know, a kingdom divided against itself will fall. So there was no reason for him to launch war against them.
That's right.
They were
That's
no threat.
Right. So
they were no threat. But the thing about it is this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if you notice, the apostles, disciples, even the deacons, when the church first started in Acts, when it actually became, when we started off into the church age, the church, the people of the Most High God, the Christians, as they were called in Antioch, they were actually running the devil. They were turning the world upside down. How were they doing that? They were doing that because they were filled with the Spirit, and they were moved by the Spirit, and they obeyed the Spirit of God. They had life from Christ.
Yes.
When you have life from Christ, you have power, and you will be a threat to the enemy, and the enemy will want to take you out. Why? Because you're taking him out.
Yes.
And I have to say that because if you get to the point where everybody is speaking well of you in this world,
but
didn't
say that in the Bible?
Yes. You know, to bring in the early church of Acts is so important here because, as you said, Elder Montgomery, the way that the Christians went forth and the way that they were so effective in the gospel of Christ, the delivery and the method. And let's just single out one. Let's talk about Peter for just a second here if we can.
Yeah.
You know, before the day of Pentecost, you constantly read where Jesus had to correct him. He was rambunctious. He denied him three times. You know, this same week, Peter, after the Holy Ghost came on him, was the one that stood up, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's the one that said to them that they were, you know, because they were trying to say that they were drunk and all that. This same Peter's shadow would pass over the sick and the lame, and they recovered. So the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing was on him. The Bible says that you shall have power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. And that's why it's so important for people not to just have that form of godliness, because that is what denies that full power, the full range of the Holy Spirit to operate in their lives.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. This is a wonderful program tonight. And what I really enjoy about it is when you get into the Word of God, and especially when you get into the churches of Revelation Sardis, it's going to cover a whole lot of different things. It's not going to be just one thing, well, you're just a dead church. No, it's going to cover a whole lot of other things that relates to and causes deadness. There's something I wanted to read out of 1 Timothy 6 and 17. It says, 1 Timothy 6 and 17 reads, I'm going to read down through 21, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now, you're reading that, but the thing that was most pronounced was that Paul told Timothy that they may lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life, but he was telling them how to do that, what to stay away from, how to not be like Sardis, how to not get caught up in the things of the world, the things of wealth, of putting on a show, of looking righteous, of looking religious, of all these things like this. But on the inside, the heart, the main part of you, is not connected to Christ.
And I wanted to bring
That's tricky. Go ahead.
with this universal, it's this social gospel, how they're trying to bring all religions together in universal peace and harmony, it's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? And they're working on this right now, this social gospel where they're just teaching all this universal love. No matter what your religion is, no matter what your denomination, they're saying we can all just come together and sing Kumbaya. It's not going to happen. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is not. There is not going to be perfect peace on man-made peace. This is suedo. It's not going to happen. The only true peace you're going to have is in Jesus Christ.
Jesus. The Bible says that when they say peace, peace, behold sudden destruction. You know, and you, as you said, Sister Montgomery, when you're thinking, you know, if people think, and now it would be lovely if the world was permeated with love. But we know that when you really get it the way the Bible says, even in the church of Sardis, he said there were a few, just a few. Bible tells us only the few is going to make it in. There is going to be a sect that will admonish the will of God, that will keep true to his laws and keep true to his ways. But it also tells us, the Bible tells us, in the last day, there's going to come a great falling away. And men have ears. They no longer want to hear the truth. That's why they pay so much money to some of these huge organizations so that that orator can tell them what they want to hear. They're paying him to tell them what they want to hear because they don't want to feel the conviction of the word in their life. So they want to be able to live the way they want to, and because they give to these places, they feel they don't have to hear that. They have itching ears. Hey, this is the world that we live in today. It's only the true, unadulterated word of God that can convict and save souls. And that's why it's so important for ministries such as these that can reach out over the world and touch lives and let them know that is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. You don't want to live that way. You want to seek out the will of God and to live holy, unblemished, untouched from the world.
Jesus.
That's right. Well, you know, Jesus said himself that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Because, see, the thing about this, God and Christ, they're not destroyers. They don't destroy people. If they wanted to destroy people, he'd have all the power to do it. We would not exist. We would not exist. But God is about life. He's about deliverance. He's about salvation. But the thing about it, he allows us to have a choice. He gives us a free will.
Yes.
So we can choose where we want to be. We can choose to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or we can choose to have it blotted out.
Yes.
And the program that we're talking about tonight is that Sardis, you know, they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. They looked like they were on top of it, but they were dead.
Yes.
The law was telling them, look, I'm getting ready to blot your name out of the book of life. Wake up. Repent. Wake up. Repent. Come alive. The only way you can come alive is through Christ Jesus. You can't come alive through a denomination, name on the doorpost, that's not going to save you. Your works is not going to save you by itself without salvation in Jesus Christ. How you clean up yourself on your own is not going to save you. Water baptism is not going to save you. The only thing that's going to save the whole world is Jesus Christ. Repenting, accepting him as Lord and Savior, obeying his word, following after him, that's salvation. That's
it. We have about 28 minutes. We're going to open the phone lines up, and I want to give the call in. Guest call in number is 323-375-0849. Again, the call-in number is 323-375-0849. And, Brother Bob, did you have some questions you wanted to present to our guest speaker?
Well, to be truthful, I did, but we really already answered them in the program. Because the question I asked was in reference to the 10 virgins. We went through all that. In 1 Timothy 6:20, we went through all that. We went through how does the church of Sardis relate to today's church. We went through that. Now, there's one other question that we have here, and it says this. It says, why did God tell Sardis, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead?
Amen.
You know.
And we kind of covered that too, Elder Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, you know, this is where we were talking about how their name, they wanted it to appear that there was life in this church. And I even gave an example that it could have been Lively Stone or Abundant Life or some of these names that are real popular today. But God sits high and he looks low. And you may be able to, you know how you've ever heard the saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time? Well, you can't fool God any of the time because he looks through your charade. God was able to look at that church and see that the church itself was dead. Now, they had a few little stragglers barely hanging on, but God said they needed to repent quickly. Otherwise, he was going to come and remove his candlestick. And he let them know that the few that were hanging on the edge were about to die. They were like that battery that you talked about earlier that really needed rejuvenation. It needed a pair of jumper cables in the worst way, if you will, you know, because it was time for revival, a spiritual revival. And that's what we need today. We need a spiritual revival. We need more godly people like you and Sister Montgomery to speak out for the word of God. Don't be bullied. I call it bullying because so many people want to jump down your throat when you speak the true word of God. They don't want to hear you talking against some of these heinous sins that are being done today. But unless the Lord says, and look at the disciples and the apostles, how they died upholding the word of God. They say, you know, I'll say this, that if you look at how some of them were crucified and upside down and beheaded and all these things, and Stephen preached to the people so that they chased him to the edge of the city and stoned him to death. First, they grabbed their ears. They just didn't want to hear it. And as he continued, and at the end of his life, he prayed that God would forgive them. I mean, this is the love of God in Stephen, but look at the people. This is the age and generation that we're in even today. You have people with ears. They do not want the truth, but we have to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. We have to put the word out there because so many people are falling by the wayside. They're buying into the lie. They're buying into big fluency of the church, but there is no power. It is spiritually dead, and God says, I know your work, and you are dead.
Amen. And we have a caller, and we have a caller at 3831. Caller, I'm going to bring you into the program. If you have a question, caller 3831, I'm bringing you live into the program now. If you have a question, thought, or opinion, you can now speak. Caller,
hello.
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah, I would just like to say I really enjoy the program talking in reference to the Church of Sardis in Revelation. One of the things that you guys have already brought out is the fact that the church, they did the deeds, they did the, you know, maybe missions, charities, and different things, but what Jesus kept iterating to them is, he said, I have not found deeds complete. You know, and several times he reiterated this, and he kept telling them to repent. What has happened to them is they stopped believing. They stopped believing in Jesus. They stopped believing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still, just because you're sitting in a church, you know, you can still be the biggest life giver. You can even still do miracles, lay hands on people, cast out demons. But you're still not necessarily a believer of Christ. You see, if you look in the book of Acts and everything, and just throughout the whole New Testament, Jesus said, "Yeah, they're doing the deeds, but I don't know you." You know, you're the furthest from what God wants, and it's real simple. Jesus, He worked out our salvation. You know, when he died, He said it is finished. So all we have to do as a believer is not what we think. We complicate things. All He asks us to do, according to 1 John 3:23, He says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us the commandment. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that it is written. Believe that it is true. Believe that He shall return. Believe. And what we should do as we have received this good news, as we have received who Jesus Christ is in our lives, it's our job to share it with others, to allow them that opportunity to believe in who Jesus Christ truly is. And that's what the church has started, stopped doing. Yeah, there were a few, but in these big mega churches, there's a few believers. You know, there's a few believers. But it's that same thing, like you guys said before.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But when you're saying believers, I do agree with you. But let's keep in mind that behind the belief, there is a duty, there is a service, there is a lifestyle that will be portrayed by a true believer. Remember, the Bible tells us that the demons believe and they tremble also, but yet they are demons, right? So there is a lifestyle that comes behind that believing.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Because, like you say, Sister Malone, as you believe, when you believe who Jesus Christ is, when you believe that God is real, that's going to naturally force you to, you're going to know the things that are right based on the Bible that has been put in place. This is our instruction manual. This is our thing that we should study, we should read, because that teaches us how to become Christ-like. That teaches us how to come near to Christ. That teaches us how to push away childish things and become that man or woman of Christ. Real follower, real disciple. Disciples mean nothing more than to study that word, become that scholar of that Bible, inside out, know that Bible. So naturally, the shackles shall fall off. Naturally, those bonds, those strongholds will be released.
That's right.
Amen. Well, brother, praise the Lord, and I thank you for your call. And you've been a blessing in your speaking, and we're gonna keep, if you want to keep online, we're gonna keep you online. And but I thank God that you called in, and we realize that, especially in this day and age that we're living in, if you say you are Christ-like, you say you're a Christian, you say you are a believer in the living God, then that means you got to be Christ-like. And the only way you're going to know how to be Christ-like is through His Word. So we thank you for your call. We got another caller that called in, 1231. I'm going to bring him over. All right. What in the world? Okay. Caller 1231.
Hello?
Yes. You're live.
Hello?
Yes, you're live.
Okay, well, been very awesome listening to the radio show. It's been a blessing. And when we're talking about Sardis, the church, I do see it relevant in a general church that we're talking about. And we know that we are in the end times, and we know Jesus is on His way back.
Yeah.
One thing that came to my attention is I do music. I'm a Christian artist. And one thing that I've been seeing is that, I listen to the show and the performance in the church for pastors and praise and worship and this, that, and the other. But I also see it in the gospel rap community also. And I feel like there have been so many things that taking place where people are beginning to use the model of the world. They strayed away from the model of the disciples. They strayed away from the model that we supposed to be looking at for the Word of God. And, you know, I'm to the point where I write and I do certain things according to the Lord, but it's like when you do shows, I feel like we talked about earlier, if signs and wonders are not following you, if people are not getting saved, if people are not getting healed, because when we think about it, that's the main reason why Jesus' ministry was so profound. It wasn't so much of how much he preached and said the truth, but look at the miracles that followed him. Look at the love that he came with. Look at look at how he lived his life. He wasn't walking around in pride and all arrogant and stuck up and like he was all that. He was down to earth, humble. He did things. He acted out things. He said things. So it all has to come together. And sometimes with people that I've been seeing, it's more of a, I'm a celebrity now. It's more of a, I'm a entertainer. I'm a Christian entertainer. I'm a, you know, I have to perform for you. And I feel like when you come into a place, when you prayed up, when you've been spending time with the Lord, when that when you go forth, it's the anointing and it's the power of God that's going to take people on their feet.
Can I go in with the caller here? And I appreciate everything that you've said, which comes back to our topic tonight. Because when you what you're saying is profound, and the fact that God has called you into an avenue to reach people through your gifts. You know, in the body there are many gifts to operate, and the Bible commends us, compels us actually, to go out into the world, and it tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we know that so many artists are patterning their delivery after the world. But my call is to the artist to be unique. And the Bible tells us, God said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And you are absolutely right, caller, in saying that the way Jesus' delivery was totally different. Now, keep in mind, for that day, it was totally different than what the rulers and the Pharisees had been delivering. They would literally beat people over the head with legalism. But Jesus came teaching a message of love and forgiveness, whereas this was not the tradition of that day. And this was something so new to the people, they couldn't help but love him. Look at the woman that was given in adultery and had so many sins that the men caught her and were ready to stone her according to the law. But Jesus stooped down on the ground and just began to write. And the Bible doesn't reveal what he wrote. But in my mind, I can only imagine that every one of those men standing around with the big boulders and rocks ready to kill this woman, Jesus probably wrote the name down of the woman that they were with last week. And all of a sudden, they dropped the rocks and disappeared, didn't they? And Jesus asked, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none. He said, go and sin no more. I don't care either. So it was in his delivery. And that is why it is so important for us to figure out the call on our life and the mission that God has commissioned you with and to be full of the Spirit. And you are right. You lift up the Lord. He will do the drawing of the people unto himself.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So true. So true. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Wow.
Brother, we appreciate that. I just wanted to read this about the faith and what Sister Malone was talking about. See, it is by faith that we do what we do. It's by faith, brother, that you're doing what you do. A lot of times we may not get the big crowd. We may not get the fanfare. We may not get the pat on the back, but it's by faith that we do what we do. Over in Hebrews, he was saying it was by faith. He's talking about our forefathers that went on before us. He says, still others had trial of mockings and scourging, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted,
were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So keep doing what you're doing, and let God lift you up. Don't worry about what the others are doing to try to compromise. Don't worry about the ministries that's trying to compromise this social gospel. We're going to teach the truth and let God be true. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. It really is amazing what you can get out of the Word of God when the Spirit of God reveals things to you by and through His Word. See, the wonderful thing about the Scripture is you can go to the Scripture and you can always get something fresh. You can always get something relevant. You can always get something sweet and good and something that's going to strengthen you, raise you up, going to place anointing and build you up in your spirit. Only the Word of God can really do that. It's the Word of God that can actually change you from the inside out wholly. All right, praise God. All right. We only have about 9 minutes left on the program, and it's been a wonderful program. And look like time flies on these programs when they're good, when we have the Word of God going forth, the Spirit of God is moving the way He wants to move. Before you know it, the time is up. We only have about 8 minutes and 54 seconds left. Our call-in number is still 323-375-0849. Sister Malone,
yes.
Was there anything else that you wanted to add or say?
Well, basically, I just have really enjoyed, and I wanted to thank you and Sister Montgomery for having tonight, and it's always just such an enjoyment to rightfully divide the word of truth. And, you know, God's word will not go out void. There is someone listening tonight. I don't know if they were a caller or not, but I know there is someone listening. And I believe that the Spirit of God has touched them tonight and compelled them to examine their life and to start afresh, start anew. Today is the day. You know, you talked about how the virgins left. And when they came back, it was too late. The bridegroom was there and the door had been closed. So the door is open tonight, and you have the opportunity to come in and allow the Lord to really permeate your soul and bring you into the fold so that you won't have to stand before Him ashamed. Now is the time to make sure, to ensure that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Well, we really have enjoyed you. You have been a blessing. And like you said, we just thank the Lord. And when you are in the Atlanta area, you know, you are welcome, you know, to just come and share the Word of God at Kingdom of God Ministries. And just keep us in prayer. We're, you know, we're just trusting God for some things this year, and we believe God is doing it, you know. And like I said, our voice goes out throughout the whole world. People are listening, and God is blessing. So we just ask that the people, our listening audience, to, like you said, the fellowship is good. We need fellowship. Sometimes you can listen on the radio, but it's nothing like coming together in fellowship.
Amen.
So with that, Pastor can close us out in prayer, and we just look forward to having you on the program again.
Thank you. Amen. I do look forward. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the lessons learned. We thank you for the moving of your anointing spirit. Father God, we thank you for the revelation that was revealed to us by and through your word. We thank the Lord, Lord, for our guest speaker on tonight, Prophetess Judy Malone. We thank you, Lord, that she was able to participate on the program tonight. We lift her up, Father God, that you will continue to bless her and continue to give her revelation of your word. Continue to anoint her, that the anointing would overshadow her more and more, and that the Holy Ghost would move in her the way he wants to, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we bless all the listeners on tonight. We ask that you touch their minds, hearts, that the revelation of your word be made manifest to them all the more. We bless them. We come against any hindering spirits, any spirits of oppression, depression, any spirits of iniquity or sickness. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Amen.
All right.
We love you. All right.
Love you.
All right.
Okay. Bye.